Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 66. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, loft beds and trailer hitches.
All right, guys, welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. With a little help from your friends and the proper know-how. Got a little bit of another mashup this week of two kind of completely unrelated things, loft beds and trailer hitches, but it's stuff we've been doing recently. So we thought, you know what? We should talk about that. I've been doing loft beds and Josh's has been doing trailer hitches.
And I haven't been doing anything.
Yeah, well, that's you, Dave.
Bring nothing to the table here.
But how was your week, Dave?
It was good, except for today. I'm going to use this massive platform that I have to call out Marietta Power, the worst power company on the planet.
Oh, dang.
The worst ever. I'm talking to you, Marietta Power. You're horrible. Now, listen, I talk to people, everybody that I live around, I'm like, hey, do you have Marietta Power? And they're like, yeah, I love them. I'm like, oh, I think it's just me. I think it's just my neighborhood. But I'm going to say once a month, our power goes out, sometimes more often than once a month,
wow.
Sometimes less often. But in this case, it's gone out twice in 1 week. Okay. And I can't figure it out.
For how long?
So that's a good question. It's generally not that long. It's like an hour or two.
That's a long time.
Okay. Well, in my mind, when the power goes out, it's out for a day. But the reason it doesn't go out for a long time is because I go and I check, because I'm going to report the power outage, right? So I go and I check it, and you can, you know, it's 2020 now, and you can do all this online, right? You don't have to like call the power company, right? Be like, my, you know, lights are out. So you go online and it shows you an outage map on the internet, and it shows you how many outages there are. Every time I go on there, there's one outage, and it's my neighborhood. Like, there are no other outages. So there was a storm that blew through today. And it wasn't really bad. There were no severe thunderstorm warnings or anything like that. It's just kind of pretty windy. And I wasn't at home, but, you know, I checked the radar because I'm a pseudo weatherman. And my wife, the reason I checked is because she said, hey, the power's out. I was like, of course it's out. It's Monday. It's Monday and the power goes out on Monday. Anyway, Marietta Power, you need to get your stuff together. It's pathetic. Like, every month? What is the deal with that? Listen,
I don't know.
I understand that this is a first world problem. I get that. But look, everybody depends on electricity these days. All
and
right.
How that's unfortunate. Our life. Okay. So for those of you that don't know, that's our local city is Marietta. However, we all live outside the technical
correct.
City limits.
I do not live in the city limits of Marietta, but for whatever reason, I'm under their reign of terror and I have no option. I have nowhere to go. I can't go anywhere else. Look, I got a lot. There's a lot of old folks in my neighborhood, and these people, they got like medical equipment and stuff. You can't be having the power go out once a month. It's pathetic. It's ridiculous. And you need to get your stuff together, Marietta Power. I'm going to be calling you out every week from now on until my power stops going out.
I mean, they're obviously listening, so.
They better be listening. This is a massive podcast, and they need to be listening and getting their act together, or I'm going to start knocking on their door and yelling at them.
It's all right, Dave, ridiculous. So this is where I say, remember all the people around the world that their power goes out on the regular.
Tim, I don't want to hear about
every
that.
Every day.
That's, you know what? It's something that, like, in the state of Georgia, we don't really have to deal with that. In California and New York, like, they have rolling power outages, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
That ain't cool.
I don't know about that, but it sounds right.
It's true. I've read about it.
Okay.
In the newspaper. Anyway, so that's what's been yanking my chain today.
All right, Josh, what about you?
Not much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, all right, moving on.
Very interesting hosts we have here on You Can't.
What are you running? How many miles per week are you running now, Josh?
I just hit my first ever 40-mile week last week.
Dang!
What?
Yeah, I almost didn't run this weekend. So we've been, I don't know if you've ever had an 8-month-old, but ours is like not wanting to sleep right now.
That's fun.
And I'm not complaining because my wife gets even less sleep than I do, but it's not a lot of sleep happening. So usually Saturday morning's my long run. I woke up Saturday morning and my body is like, you're not doing this.
How many times a night are you getting up?
Like, oh, once he's up or 3 to 4.
Oh,
yeah. Man. We'll do a separate show on sleep training. Cause here we go. So Saturday, wasn't feeling it. I was like, I'll just do it Sunday morning. Sunday morning, body's like, nope, not today.
Yeah, it's weird too. Like a night run.
Yeah, my body feels good, but my brain stamina, like I could just tell, like I was so foggy.
It's
mental weakness is what it is. Right. So Sunday evening, you know, we're about to roll into a new week. I have not checked my box on the long run, and that's like my thing.
On the weekend?
A marathon training. Yeah.
And yeah. So, right. You are training for people who don't know, you're training for an actual marathon.
Yeah. So I look at my wife and I said, I'm going to put the boys to bed and I'm going to go for a run. And I started at 8:20-ish, 8 o'clock. Anyway, the sun went down on my run, but I knew that. Prepped for it, put my headlamp in the bag. So about 9:20, it got unsafely dark, donned the headlamp and ran, I don't know how many. It was over 2 hours, 15 miles.
Dang, so you're doing like 9 to 10 miles in the dark.
No, 15 miles about halfway through my run. About mile 7.5, okay. 8, it went dark. So anyway, it was nice. The storm had just rolled in. Huge storm rolled in, dropped the temperature like 10 or 20 degrees, lowered the humidity, and it was good.
There's nobody out. It's quiet. Yep.
Yeah. Really nice run.
That's crazy.
Thanks, Tim, for reminding me.
Yeah, no problem. Not a whole lot going on with me. The topic that we're talking about is loft beds, and I've been doing a lot of loft bedding.
I've been hearing that saw across the street.
Yes, been working a lot about that. One thing I was thinking about related to all this carpentry work, I guess you could say, that I've been doing, is I started cleaning up the massive amounts of sawdust that I now have in the garage. And what I'll do with the sawdust is I throw it and what I call the Broncos bedpan, because I say that the Bronco has. So I had this classic Bronco, 1975 classic Ford Bronco. And I say that it has bed sores because it sits a lot.
That's sad.
And a lot of the seals started going. Basically, anywhere it can leak, it kind of leaks.
It's got leaky gut.
It's like an old man.
It's got a really bad leak between, like, the seal between the transmission and the transfer case. And so it just leaks into the transfer case and then out of there and around the transmission pan. Anyway, so there's always this transmission fluid. I've got a pan that I use to catch it. But the sawdust works really well to soak up the transmission fluid. Mm-hmm. So I just took a bunch of that and threw it up underneath there. It's kind of like cat litter.
I was going to say, cat litter.
Yeah. I'm recycling it in some way, form, or shape. I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyways, just a little thing I was thinking about.
That's kind of a life hack.
Yeah, I guess.
Use sawdust to catch your leaky fluids.
Don't say life hack. Just say it's a thing I do.
It's a life hack.
It's a stupid phrase.
Yeah. Life hack. Let's get into our mashup for this week, loft beds and trailer hitches. So I think both Josh and I were working on both of these projects independently this weekend.
Correct.
Because Josh had to borrow some tools from me to do his trailer hitch.
As always.
Okay, so
you had to borrow tools from Tim via me.
Yeah, I fetched a.
Oh yeah, I got a text. I got a text from Josh saying, "Hey, I commandeered your floor jack from Dave."
Yeah,
hope that's okay.
Okay.
I was just being a good Samaritan. I was over at Dave's house. What was I doing? Hanging out,
picking up the floor jack.
Is that all I came over to do?
Yeah.
No. I came over to get my jack stands that you had.
Accurate.
And then I was like, hey, that's Tim's jack. And Dave's like, can you take that back to him? I was like, sure thing, after I use it.
Yeah. So real quick, I meant to mention this last time. Harbor Freight is basically, that's the bottom of the barrel, in my opinion. Okay.
Whatever.
And I'm never buying anything from Harbor Freight. I'm just not going to do it because I don't want to die.
But you'll use it.
But that jack, that's a Harbor Freight jack,
you
isn't
can't,
it?
Look, you can't mess up a jack.
You can't, I mean.
You can mess up jack stands.
Well, that's true.
But that, it makes me nervous, but that jack is, that's a nice jack.
Yeah.
It's legit, and I kind of want one.
Well, then get you
I
one.
Mean, I got a good floor jack, but I lost the handle, and I don't know what to do, so that's why I borrowed your jack, and that jack is legit.
Everybody needs a good, solid floor jack.
Yeah, you don't want to be using the jack from your car when you're changing your brakes or your oil or whatever. You don't want to be pulling that thing out of the floorboard of the car. Don't be using that. Emergencies only. Yes. And even in that case, I don't know that I'd use it.
It can take up some room in the garage, but it's so worth it. You got to have it. I mean, if you do any kind of work on your car, you've got to have a floor jack.
You should also get your own so that you don't have to lift your friends into your trunk.
That thing is heavy.
It's heavy. It's heavy. Like, you can pick it up by yourself, but you can't pick it up for long. Like that thing, first of all, it's unwieldy. There's no handles on it, but that thing gets the job done.
Gotcha.
Loving it.
Okay. So transitioning to loft beds. So yeah, a couple of years ago, I guess it was 2018, I built a loft bed for my son. And it was kind of like this floating design.
Steampunk.
It was, well, it used like pipe.
Industrial.
It was industrial.
Yeah, yeah. It's appropriate for a boys' room. It's actually the most visited blog post on youcanman.com. So if you just go there and type in the search loft bed, you should come across it. And anyway, so I got some ideas from a couple different sources. All it really is it's just a platform. And it's connected by ledger boards on two walls directly into the studs. And then it's pretty much built like a deck. Yep. So I've got joists, 2x4 joists. The rim is 2x6s. And I use joist hangers to hang the 2x4s. And I put a piece of plywood on it. And then the support for the free floating corner is a good way to put it. It's steel pipe. So I used... it's not the screw-in like plumbing type piping that you're probably more accustomed to. This is actually like a slip joint thing where it's got a, what is that called? A set screw.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's way easier because you can slide these fittings over the pipe instead of having individual pieces that you screw the pipe into. Yep. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so it's made by a company called Steel Tech. It's STEELTEK. And they sell it at Lowe's. So that's where you can find it. Don't think that they have it at Home Depot. Maybe they do now. I'm not sure. But I got all my stuff at Lowe's.
And that's not the loft bed that we're talking about today.
That is not the loft bed that we're talking about. So now I'm currently in a massive project building dual loft beds for both my girls. They're adjoined with a wall. I'm going to have to just post pictures.
It is huge. Like, it looks really good. Your son's is industrial. This one looks like an Escalade. Like, I saw pictures of it, and it's big.
Some Joanna Gaines going on.
No, it looks really good.
We got a little bit of shiplap. You know, we were going to do a lot more shiplap, and I'm really glad that we didn't, because that would have been way overkill. So Now we just kind of use the shiplap as an accent.
Tasteful shiplap.
Yeah. So, but doing this... involved electrical work as well. So framing and electrical work, because I essentially built a wall that actually became load bearing because it's running perpendicular to my ceiling joists. So it's actually carrying some load, I guess. Of course, I guess I didn't support it from underneath. So technically, Dave, is that a load bearing wall or not?
It's a load bearing wall that's unsupported at the base, which is not good.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because it's within
you'll probably be all right.
Yeah. But I added a couple outlets, and even I have an outlet switch combo that's inside custom cubbies that I built that are at their basically the headboard of the bed, and it has a switch and an outlet. And then I did add an extra outlet somewhere else, and then two other outlets specifically just for string lights for up underneath where their desk is going to be.
Nice.
Because we got into it and we're thinking, well, where are you going to plug that in? We didn't want the wire exposed, like coming down to an already existing outlet.
That's amateur.
So, yeah, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you got like reading lights up there too, right?
Yeah.
That's my dream. Like when you go to a hotel and you got like a little light right above
exactly
you,
you click
on and off,
is.
It's nice.
It's exactly what this is, except I have more of a traditional switch to turn it off and on. The switch isn't on the lamp is what I mean to say. Random thing. Do you guys ever, this is totally random. Do you guys ever write anything on framing or something like that when you're building something that you're going to cover up?
Yes.
My measurements or other, like,
no.
I'll do
no.
math and stuff like all.
I just,
oh, like you're writing like a note to somebody.
Yeah. So I wrote a little sweet note to the girls, you know, built with love 2020, I guess now. Gosh. Do you guys do that when you're building projects and you...
I don't think I've ever done that.
I do. No? I do math on the studs or on the wood, but they're not, obviously they're never going to see that. The people that buy your house, you know, when you kick the bucket And it's going to be a long your decorating. Time. They're gonna see that when they, you know,
maybe or maybe remodel. Not, or maybe no one will ever see it, and the house will just get bulldozed. You know, like I don't know. And then when I did our built-ins for the library, I remember I had the kids write a note, and I just shoved it up underneath.
That's cool.
Nice.
To I like where, that even better.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm never, like, I could maybe get to it, but I'm not going to. Yeah. Like, I'd have to take stuff off to get to it. So it would have to be somebody that's just renovating and ripping that out.
Yeah.
I to saw, find it. I recently saw an article on, I don't know, social media somewhere. Someone who remodeled a bathroom. And so I guess they pulled the cabinets down. And there was a picture of a husband and wife couple. And it had a note that's, it was like 1995. And it said, you know, what was wrong with this bathroom or something. Like, we spent a lot of time and money in here. They, like, knew exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
And so, yeah, when
in 20 years, someone's going to renovate this.
When the cabinets came down, it was a picture of the couple.
I like it.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah. Okay, so loft beds. The big reason why I really love loft beds, especially for, obviously, for kids' rooms. But, hey, loft beds can be for adults as well. But the main... I think so, especially like if you're in some apartment or something like that. But it's all about space savings.
Yeah, no, you free up a ton of floor space.
Way tons and tons. If you go in your kids' rooms right now and you look at the floor space, the majority of it is probably going to be taken up by their beds.
Unless you're rich.
I mean, if you've got multiple kids in the same room, that is. But a lot of houses, bedrooms are really small. Yeah. And so if you've got a small bedroom house and you really want to maximize that square footage, strongly consider doing a loft bed. Now, I want to say that you may think of loft beds and you're like, oh, I got to buy some kit. I got to buy some store bought something and put this thing together. No. What you need to do is you need to do it yourself, and you can totally do it. And it's very simple designs that you can attach to the wall. So if you've got enough wall space, you can essentially build it like you would a deck that you're attaching to the side of a house.
If you know how to find studs, you can build a super strong loft bed.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it.
Exactly. So all that to say, I encourage you not to go out and buy a kit, to do this yourself. And there's tons of resources online, including my article on the loft bed that I built my son on ukandman.com. So definitely check that out. And I think maybe I'll try to share the SketchUp that I did of the structure of the loft beds that I just built. I think I got to do some extra additional work to it, but that helped tremendously. I know if you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about SketchUp. I don't know how many times. How many times have I talked about SketchUp?
1,000.
Tim loves SketchUp. Last
week. Yes. I love SketchUp. I just used it, well, I mean, to do the loft beds, but specifically, I had never built a ladder before. Have you guys ever built a ladder?
I have not.
Can't say that I have.
Okay. So initially I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I can totally do that. But then I got to thinking about it. I was like, oh, crap. Actually, I don't know how to do that math. Like, I don't know how to figure out the angles and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't want it to just be straight up and down because it's not as easy for them to climb. So I wanted it to be at an angle. So I went on SketchUp. And it allowed me to figure out what the angle needed to be, because I already had to scale the loft beds built there. And so I was able to figure it out. So I put the ladders at a 23 degree angle. So anyhow, and I also was going to butt joint all the rungs, but I thought, you know what? I'm doing all this. I'm going to do some dado cuts. So that's why I came over to your house, Josh, to get my router back the other day. And I had to build a jig to cut the dados for the rungs.
So, man, that's
goodness.
A lot of effort that's worth it.
Yeah, because it's going to make it all that more stronger. For those of you that don't know what a dado is, it's just a groove cut into wood that another piece of wood goes into, making the joint extra strong.
Yeah, they're going to be up and down that 1,000 times a day for however many years are coming up. And they're only going to get bigger. And so they're going to put some wear on those ladders.
Exactly.
So good choice.
All right. I think that's all I got for now about loft beds. And I will continue to give you guys updates as well as posting pictures of the
grand
product.
Finale's got to be coming up, right?
Yeah. I will say, okay, so another thing about painting. So I paint. I hate painting. Have I mentioned that before, guys?
Yes.
Okay. Do not like painting at all.
Yeah, painting is the worst.
I borrowed... Josh, is it your wife's sprayer?
Yeah, she bought that and she's the only one in our house.
Really? She's got a sprayer?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Ooh. So I borrowed...
She sprayed our doors when we moved in.
Nice. Okay, so did she do it outside?
She did it in the basement when it was unfinished.
Okay. So I don't know that I will ever use another sprayer inside.
Okay.
It was not fun at all.
It's a lot of prep work, right?
Oh, my gosh. Tons of prep work and it still went everywhere. But I think if I was outside, it'd be way better. But that sprayer is legit. Yeah. But it sprayed out way too much paint, and it's not adjustable. I think it could be adjustable if I had a different tip in the gun.
Yeah, tips are important.
But I don't know. It sprayed out a lot of paint. I just went through an entire gallon of paint.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of wood.
Yeah, I had a few runs on it, and I was actually able to kind of wipe those off.
So you had to, like, move fast with it because it was spraying out so much.
Right, and then I had to clean it out in between coats because I couldn't just leave the gun sitting there, right? So I had to clean the gun twice, and that's a whole process in and of itself.
Yeah, everyone that's not a professional painter, Keystone Carpenter, who has been, you know, he's been tweaking for years, like trying to find the perfect brand of sprayer with the right tip, with the right paint, like so that he can get his perfect finish. And yeah, it's a science.
I watched
and an art.
So I watched, I think it was the Idaho Painter on YouTube. I believe is the name of his channel or whatever. He sprays trim. So he sprays all the trim and it goes, I mean, he's a pro. And his crew's a pro, they're pros, but when they do it, it goes like lightning. But the prep work, you can just tell everything is covered, everything is taped, ton of prep work. But then once you're painting, it goes pretty quick.
Yeah, it's one or the other. You're going to prep or you're going to paint fast. Yeah. Like,
right.
You don't get both.
Well, you'd spend probably just as much time if you did it by hand and didn't use a sprayer, right?
You want the brush strokes, right?
Right. It turned out nice. I mean, it's
awesome.
It's really nice. So I'm glad that I did it.
I'm using it for our office built-ins, but sounds like a lot of prep work because we're on carpet too. So
You have to cover all those surfaces because especially inside that thing puts out so much paint.
Yeah,
you'll just get this like fine dust paint everywhere.
Sweet, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so. Moving on to trailer hitches, and specifically trailer hitches on vehicles.
Mini, I was going to say on minivans.
That don't really normally call for a trailer hitch.
Yeah.
So I went over to Josh's because he asked if I needed, what was it, an extension to a half-inch drive? And I was like, yeah, of
course.
I
knew you did. he brought me three sizes.
Yeah, I brought you like three options. And I go over there and Josh is installing a trailer hitch on his minivan. And I had actually thought about doing that simply to put a bike rack or just like one of those flat cargo shelf things, on the outside of the vehicle. You need a trailer hitch for that. Well, Josh did it because he's going to actually haul a massive trailer.
Yeah, so...
Well, you're not going to be hauling the trailer with the Lexus, right? Josh has a Lexus. Right. He makes fun of rich people, but then he rolls around in a Lexus.
I know, man. My 03 Lexus. Rich. So, in defense of my minivan, and Dave, you can shutty right now. It's a 2012 Toyota Sienna XLE.
Cherry.
All-wheel drive. Now, the all-wheel drives, I don't know if this is true for the non-all-wheel drives, but the all-wheel drives have a 3,500 pound towing capacity.
But does that mean you should do that?
That's what it's rated for. Like, that's what it's rated for.
This now, minivan's got power.
There are, when you do tow, and look, I'm on the Sienna forums, so don't give me grief.
Watch out.
But if you're going to be towing, like, because you can, 3,500 pounds, that's like a decent little travel trailer.
Yeah, that's a
boat. Or a boat. And, they recommend having like a transmission cooler and things like that. Like,
see, that's
extra
what I,
precaution.
That's what I always think of. If I ever see a car or minivan or something that wouldn't traditionally call for a trailer hitch, and I mm-hmm. see them hauling some sort of larger trailer, I just think, well, that transmission's life right. just got cut in half.
So my understanding is if it's a professional installing the trailer hitch, they typically will not put a 2-inch, which is that's the typical, like if I'm hauling something, it's a 2-inch receiver hitch. They typically won't put a 2-inch hitch or receiver hitch on like a minivan or a Honda Civic or something like that. It's usually a smaller one, the 1.25 inches. Because yeah. those people, they're usually saying, "Hey, I'm just putting a bike rack on it." Yep. That's when they'll do just the 1.25 inches, so that they can't get into trouble
right.
hauling a 5,000.
But you know, somebody's gonna do it,
like Josh.
But $3,500 is, I mean, that's a legitimate towing capacity. I'm not gonna be pulling a travel trailer or a right. big boat for any distance behind this thing.
How many pounds is your trailer empty? Do you know?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's a pretty big trailer.
How about it's 1,200 pounds?
Oh, I was guessing like 800.
Okay.
Really?
Can we weigh it?
I don't know.
Next time you go to the dump,
yeah,
you got a full load or whatever.
Yeah, but it just tears out. They take out the van and the trailer.
Well, no, we're going to take the van. We're going
to
weigh
it.
Then we're going to get back. We're going to get back in line. We're going to get the trailer, get back in line, weigh the trailer, okay. do a little bit of math.
That's one way to
then
do
we
it.
Got it.
All right. Or you could just look up the weight of the van online.
The trailer.
Get back out the van.
But no, we want to know because we're going to be in it. It's going to be half full of gas. Like yeah. we got it.
All this to say, it's a capable towing machine. People always, again, in defense of my all-wheel drive Sienna, people out in like the Pacific Northwest and Colorado, they overland, which you can look it up. You can overland.
No, they don't.
No, there are... Multiple companies build lift kits for Toyota Sienna all-wheel
yes,
drives.
Yes, I want to see this.
They look awesome. I think they look...
Josh,
I haven't should
have, stop.
My wife cares zero about cars and vehicles. I showed her this like macked out van, and it's like a 3.5-inch lift. Like it's not massive, but you put like little bigger tires on it. She was like, oh, that looks actually pretty cool. That looks like fun. I was like, yeah, it does.
You're dead inside.
It's never going to happen. But
now, all right. So, but
this looks... 1,000 times better than a lot of other cars that try to be off-road. Anyway, and it's super practical. You can camp inside of it. People pull the seats out. They put shelving cabinetry in the back and make it like a camper. Like
yeah,
a
we get it. Minivans are practical. Okay.
All-wheel drive.
Now, but your minivan, it was already set up to receive this receiver hitch, right? Like
yes.
it was. It's, so the frame's pre-drilled. I thought back in the day, I was like, oh, you have to weld every... trailer hitch onto
so thank you for getting us back on topic, Dave.
You're welcome.
So all this to say, I have a trailer. It's just a flat trailer, not flat bed, but it's a normal landscape type trailer, but it's got like 2-foot sides, like a little taller than normal landscape trailers. It's perfect for taking things to the dump, which is the only reason I bought it. And I've said it before on the podcast, the best thing I've ever purchased, the most practical thing I've ever purchased outside of this minivan.
Tim and I agree because
we
use it all the time.
Yeah. Thank you for buying that.
Again, it's one of those things. If someone's like, hey, can you help me move? I'm like, I can't, but you can borrow my trailer.
Yeah,
that's
like,
better than
you.
A pickup truck. Yes. And it's super helpful. So a bunch of people actually this week have borrowed my trailer. When I sold my 4Runner to get the minivan, I lost the ability to tow my own trailer.
Yeah, you did.
So now I must install the trailer hitch on the Sienna. So I'm not speaking for every car, but most cars, especially SUVs, minivans, probably most other cars, trucks, obviously, have welded nuts in the frame that are ready to receive a trailer hitch. Like this is a normal thing from the factory. So when you buy a trailer, and I say hitch, it's really a receiver.
Yes, the receiver.
Okay,
correct.
So it's the rack thing that goes up under the car.
Right.
That spits out the square.
The receiver.
Receiver yep. that receives the trailer hitch, the thing with the ball on it.
Yep.
Okay, so you have to mount the receiver to the car. For my van, it was 6 bolts. So I pulled down the little plastic cover that goes up under the back end of the car, popped down the plastic cover, and lifted this hitch straight in. It's a two-man job. I did it with one person, so it was a little sketch. Put these bolts in, straight into the frame, to the welded nuts that receive the bolts, torqued them to 75 pounds a piece, and that was it. It was 45 minutes. Could have been 20 minutes if I had two people.
But then you had to do the wiring.
Yeah, so that's fine. So I was talking to Tim, and Tim's like, yeah, I want a receiver too. And I was like, cool. And he said, but it would only be for like a bike rack or something, which is also a reason I put mine on, because eventually the boys, myself, are going to get bikes and put them all on there. You don't need the wiring. Like, you don't, if you just, right. if you're just using a bike rack, you don't need any extra wiring. But since I'm going to be pulling my trailer occasionally, I wanted the wiring. Now, that part was the tough part, because on the van, at least, and it could be different for all other cars, you want constant power to the lights. You want to be able to, when the car is turned off, for instance, if you had to pull off on the shoulder for a flat tire, you would want to, the emergency flashes to work if the car was turned off. And in order to do that, you have to...
You had to run a lead all the way to the battery.
Some cars may have a power supply somewhere near the back.
You needed a constant hot that didn't have anything to do with the ignition.
Right. Some vehicles may have that near the back. Like mine has a power port in the back, but it's not. It's only hot when the ignition's on. So to do it right, I had to run a wire all the way up to the front of the car, and I did it from underneath the car. You could go inside under the carpet and all the trim and stuff and get through the firewall. I just went under the car because that's what they showed on YouTube, and it was good. I like our gas tank is super long and flat, and so there's tons of wires already running on top of that thing. So found a little path. It was a little hard because the van sits so low, so I had to jack it in a couple different places, but I eventually got it and it's all good, and I tested it and it works.
Sweet. We need to get a picture of the minivan with a fully loaded trailer.
Yeah, yes. The fully loaded trailer. Before I do that, I want to get airbags. And this is another thing that's a Sienna thing. But the shocks in the back, or the suspension in the back, is a little soft and just for ride purposes. But if you load it, if you load a trailer up, or even if you have a lot of luggage and people in the back, apparently it shows a little bit of sag. And that's not ideal. So you can get airbags. Not expensive. When I first heard airbags, I was like, that sounds crazy. But it's a system. They sell it on Amazon. You just pop it inside the rear springs, inflate it. You can hook it up straight to your air compressor. It's just these bladders, tubing.
It's a bag you stick into the spring.
It's like a heavy-duty rubber, you know, bag.
Okay.
Basically. Anyway, you inflate those up. You can control the pressure in them. And
boom.
Yeah, so before I would load up a full trailer, I'd need airbags.
That's so you're not like reverse bulldogging it, you know, dragging the tailpipe down the road.
It's already a low minivan until I get my lift. It sits pretty low.
Yeah,
nice. So, all right, I enjoyed hearing about that. If you guys have a vehicle that you haul something ridiculous with a trailer hitch, like if you've got some sort of like Toyota Camry with a trailer hitch, yes, and you haul some sort of some crazy thing, I want to see pictures of it. Post it on our Facebook group. We'll be back after the break.
This episode is sponsored by 1776 United. 1776 United is a patriotic and historically inspired lifestyle brand. They make the best patriotic shirts and apparel on the market today. I personally own many of their products, and if you want to don patriotic gear without looking gaudy, check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and at 1776united.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Josh, it's your week for the segment. I don't think you have a people dying story this week, do you?
Right. Sorry. Next time. But I have come completely unprepared. So with that said, I'm going to do some corporate type icebreaker questions.
Whoa. So like a get-to-know-your-host kind of thing?
Yeah, this will be a little get-to-know-us.
Let's call it the more you know.
The more you know about us. Yeah. I'm just going to throw out a couple of questions. We'll just do two. We'll do two each. That'll be it.
Okay, same a little question. Shorter segment.
Same
okay.
question. And so I'm going to ask you. You answer however you wish.
And we do not know what questions he's going to ask.
I don't think you do, since I'm totally winging it right now. So here's the first one. If you could write a book that was going to be a bestseller, what would the topic be? It can be like...
Whoa.
It can be fiction.
Tim's would be how to build a loft bed.
It can be fiction.
Don't think that'd be a bestseller.
Fiction, nonfiction. If you could write a book, what would you want the topic to be?
Dang.
Or what have you always, I know you both are like super arty, right brain guys.
I'm always just. So.
Oh, I got it.
All right, Tim.
100 reasons why Germany should not be a country.
Whoa. Wow. All right. Tim feels very strongly about this, if you don't know.
That's funny. No, it's just kind of like an ongoing joke. If you've been a long-time listener, you've heard me talk
about
that.
But not for Tim.
What did it first come up on, like, your top 10 list of things that you hate that most people like or something like
that? Yeah, things you love that most people would hate or the opposite.
And one of mine was... That the thought or idea that Germany is allowed to be a country.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm just throwing that out there.
So I'm still hung up on the Holocaust. We get it.
Right. I would, I'd probably change my answer, but that's just something that just popped in my head.
I mean, look, there's legitimate reasons. We don't need to get into it.
There's probably lots of reasons why they should have been.
They make great cars.
Great cars.
There's lots of great things about, I mean, hey, we went to the moon because of the Nazis.
Yeah.
Let's just face it.
I know a lot of Germans that I like.
I'm married to a woman of German descent, so there's that. It was funny because I had to ask her, like, now, when did your family come?
Wow.
Over? Yeah.
Wow. Make sure it's all good.
Yeah, right?
So that was like one of the early questions that you asked? Just,
I don't know.
It's kind of screener?
Yeah, it was just being funny.
Man, I got nothing for you. I don't know what that, like, what would the topic be? Is that the question? What would the topic
be? I've had a book in my back pocket for like 15 years.
You're always saying that I need to write a book
because
I just spat off
Dave,
this crazy stuff.
You should just write memoirs. It's not like a true memoir, but just...
Like a day in the life of kind of thing?
No, you remember super vivid things.
Yeah, very
from your
vivid
whole childhood.
But pointless things.
Yeah,
like,
but
not stuff that I can use.
I don't know. I think to me they're entertaining.
Day to day though, it's not helping me out. So yeah, maybe it would just be like deep thoughts by Dave Greenwood.
Your random collection of like just life experiences.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You could just title it I Like Donuts and Engineering.
There you go. Ooh, I do like donuts. Engineering is engineering?
There's engineers that like it, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I like it. It's my career, so.
All right, I would write, since no one's answering the question, I want to write a book that's geared for like 19 to 23, 24-year-old males.
Called Don't Be an Idiot.
Yeah, called How Not to Be an Idiot.
There you go.
And it's just, I mean, half of it's going to be things that I did, like just looking back at that age for myself and delivering that information of like, hey, don't do this because of this. And I'm sure there's folks out there, you know, that went to jail and all kinds of like bad decisions like that, that could write plenty more. But that to me would be like one of the most useful books. But the problem is you're so dumb as a male at that age that you wouldn't read the book.
Yeah, you remember being that age and you're like, okay, old man, like
right.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, your book would be given as a gift to all these like young men. And
yeah.
It would be like the thing that.
It'd have to have like a way catchier title so that they might like crack it every once in a while.
Right.
But. That's hard.
Yeah, you could do it in a format, you know, that's more palatable to the to the jerk, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-old Josh Matthews that he'd be like, oh, I'll read this book.
The real way to make that change is to try to raise your kids better so that when they get to that age, they're not as dumb as you were.
I think that's impossible.
Right.
Like a 19-year-old male is the dumbest creature on the face of the planet. I mean, I've been there, so.
Yeah. I want to revise my answer and say, obviously, I need to write a book on You Can Man. I mean, come on, guys.
What about first-gen Broncos? You could do that.
Yeah, well.
Did a top-down restoration.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna close this out because, I mean, this is riveting here. Last question. Would you rather travel into the future to meet your descendants or into the past to meet your ancestors?
in the past because I don't want to see how I screwed things up.
Yeah,
in the
future. That's what I'm going
to
say. No,
I'm going to go to the future because you can read about the past. You can read about your boring ancestors, okay. Moses Greenwood.
But so not yeah, really, though. I'm always, look, I can
try. No, I mean, meet them, like conversate with them.
I would want to go in the past because the past is dictating your own future. I feel like it. The more you know about the past, right? So it may help you inform mistakes made and that sort of thing.
I'm trying to think of which one's more believable. If somebody came to me and said, I'm from the future, I'd be like, there's no way you're convincing me that this is true.
I mean, you saw how it went in Back to the Future Part 3.
Well, it took three movies for him to convince everybody.
No, I mean, in Part 3, Doc Brown tells Claire that he's from the future.
And she did not take it well.
Whoo, she was mad.
Well, because she was like, you are
playing on my emotions and my love for Jules Verne.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we all see how that goes.
Yeah, I would want to go back because I'm always sad that I don't have much information about my ancestors because I've got names, I've got dates, I've got marriage records. I mean, I could take it back to like 1740s, right? But beyond that, I don't really have anything they wrote. I've got some wills and stuff like that, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's really nothing of value there to really see what they were really like. And so I would enjoy talking to some of them.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the future to see like how amazing or terrible of a job I did. But going back and I mean, even to like two generations ago to see like the hard living like type stuff of them having to move from
you
one
would just,
place to
you'd
another.
You disappoint yourself because
dirt
you,
floors
you'd be like, these people are way harder than
no, that's
I am.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
I would want a healthy dose of it, though.
You're just saying it would give you a perspective. It would give you perspective.
Yeah,
for
sure.
They didn't take naps back then.
They did not. The sacrifices that were made so that I can live on Easy Street in 2020.
Okay. That was a good question there, Josh, and a good little short segment. Get to know your hosts a little bit more. So we'll continue to do that off and on in the near future when one of us just doesn't come prepared like Josh did today. Anyways, all right, guys, thanks for joining us once again on the UK Man podcast. Hey, take some time to share the podcast with a friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll catch you guys next time.